We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me right now, Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee, and we're going to talk about the 49ers-Packers matchup, whether it's the best-case scenario for the 49ers, and then all of the good injury news that came out of the 49ers practice on Tuesday. But before we get into all that, we got to talk about our friends over at Lamb Chops. And you know what? SGLambChops.com, the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And a big round of applause for the homies over at Lamb Chops who are partnering with the Minnesota Timberwolves for an exclusive Minnesota Timberwolves collection that will be dropping in the Minnesota Timberwolves team store. That is extremely dope. Those guys work super hard, and I love to see that come to fruition for them. So a big shout out to our friends at Lamb Chops.
Yeah, that's super cool. Jordan McLaughlin on Instagram throwing out the Lamb Chops. I got my freshly washed ash gray hoodie here. Obviously one of my absolute favorites.
When I saw the photos of Jordan McLaughlin of the Minnesota Timberwolves walking in and what were clearly Lamb Chops, it was clearly Lamb Chops gear, or at least the sweats were. I did not notice that the hat and the hoodie were also Lamb Chops. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Timberwolf is rocking Lamb Chops. That's tight. Did not know that that was a precursor to this whole thing that they got going on. So that's extremely sick.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So now they've got two awesome deals locked up. Us, obviously, and you know, the well-known Minnesota Timberwolves.
I mean, I think the Timberwolves are kind of looking at this and going, wow, if we want to be on the level, if we want to be a serious NBA franchise, we've got to get on the level of a Candlestick Chronicles podcast. And, you know, we had a lot of talks with A-Rod, who owns the Timberwolves now. And we're like, A-Rod, this is the way to go. So,
yeah, I'm sure A-Rod's got plenty of sweats, like sweat shorts.
Yeah.
The mesh shorts, a lot of zippered pockets in the Rodriguez household, I'm sure.
For sure. Oh my God, my cat is gonna break something as he walks across my keyboard. All right. Anyways, you can get your Lamb Chops today at sglambchops.com. Use that promo code Candlestick20 for 20% off your order today. Join the herd, man. Everybody's doing it. sglambchops.com. We're also sponsored by Cooperage Brewing. We love Cooperage. Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA is my favorite beer in the world, just in front of Keg Slayer, which is also freaking delicious. And you can get both of those at Cooperage. I don't know if they have cases of Keg Slayer right now, but once they do, order a case because you're not going to regret it. And you can order your case if you're 21 and up and in the state of California at CooperageBrewing.com. You can get a mix and match case. You can get a case of one thing. There's Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA, of course, named after this very podcast. So much good beer. Your favorite brewery's favorite brewery.
Yeah, you can get really any type of beer you want. They have a Mellow Sunshine Wheat Ale. If wheat ales are your jam, they even have Sparkle Pants Hard Seltzers coming in different flavors. Kurt Pale Ale is back, Cold IPA, Straight Merked Hazy IPA, Tommy Pastrami Hazy IPA, Sound is Vibration, which is excellent, a Hazy IPA with Nelson and Mosaic Hops. And Granddaddy Terp West Coast Double IPA, you can get... I mean, everything they make is excellent. So shout out to Cooperage, and we very much appreciate them with the extra batch or extra batches of Candlestick Chronicles to keep everyone going through the playoffs, because I think that's what's going to happen here.
Yep. definitely. Let's talk about the 49ers playoff run right now. Here we go.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
Why are you laughing?
No, right meow is, that got me. That got me a little bit.
Great. That's a throwaway joke and you laughed at it. That's awesome. I love that. I love one of those lines.
I see your cat being a little aggro in the home studio over there.
Yeah, he's being a mess.
I'm wondering if he just watched, if he's a little upset about the Kings game.
No, he's not a basketball cat. Okay. He's a football cat. Okay. Gets dialed. Golf. I think the white ball on the screen really gets him rolling.
Sure.
You see that thing bouncing around?
Yeah, We're apologizing for being a little delayed on the YouTube stream. We just had to lock into Kings Suns, and it was not the result the Kings were looking for.
Tough.
Blowing a 22-point lead in the second half to the Phoenix Suns. So that was a little hard to believe, so we had to watch it in real time. And
an ugly one, for sure.
An ugly one.
Niners
Packers, though.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's start with the 49ers.
Okay, great.
I want to start with the injury stuff before we get into the actual Packers game, because I don't think there's anything more important at this point of the year, more than the bye week, more than home field advantage. There's nothing more important than being healthy. I think we saw that specifically with Miami. It wouldn't shock me if we saw it with Buffalo, who's dealing with a ton of injuries on defense. If we saw that exposed a little bit against Kansas City, like, being healthy this time of year is just so, so essential. And the 49ers, I'm going to list who didn't practice because that's easier than listing who did. The only players out of practice were Cleveland Furl, Dre Greenlaw, and Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan dealing with a groin, Dre Greenlaw dealing with an Achilles, and Cleveland Furl has a knee. Greenlaw and Ryan, according to Kyle Shanahan, are supposed to be back on Wednesday. They're supposed to be back in practice. So if all goes well for the 49ers, Cleveland Furl might be the only player who is ruled out because of injury for their first playoff game, which is just a monumental success for a team who's had so many seasons over the last five derailed by some sort of key injury.
So is Talanoa Hufanga the only week one starter that they're not going to have in the playoffs?
And Cleveland
as of right now? And Cleveland Furl, right. But they did acquire Chase Young. And
yeah. Is that right? I think that offensive line's all the same. Yeah, I think that's right.
Well, you might have John Feliciano in instead of Spencer Burford, but that's probably an upgrade at this point.
Yeah, I think.
But yeah, I mean, For a team to go into the playoffs essentially with 21 of 22 starters that they had to open the season, and I would say Chase Young is an upgrade over Cleveland Farrell if Chase Young ends up getting the start.
Yeah.
Right. Like that just is to your point, just like a huge, huge positive development. Getting Eric Armstead back, it sounds like he's gonna be good to go. Getting Jair Brown back, obviously the rookie, you know, I don't know that he was amazing, but I feel like there's probably a pretty steep drop off from him to, you know, what the other options had been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can hear, we got the dog kind of freaking out here, but,
she's just about Jair Brown's return.
Yeah, no, she's juiced. And George Odom, she's a big special teams dog. So, she's pumped on, she's pumped on George Odom getting back into the mix, returning to practice as a limited participant.
Yeah.
Shore up the coverage units. Because, like, let's be real, special teams in Niners Packers history has proven to be pretty important.
Yeah.
Obviously dating back to last year. So
also
last
sneaky,
year, 2 years ago?
Sneaky 2 years ago. Sneaky key play in the Niners win over the Packers at Candlestick in the Colin Kaepernick game was a muffed punt that the 49ers recovered and took in for a touchdown.
Good memory by you.
Later. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, no, I everybody talked about going into the last couple of weeks, like the Niners need the one seed if for no other reason than to get a week off. And they ostensibly,
right,
with the way they treated week 18, got 2 weeks off to get guys rested, to get guys healthy. And now you're seeing the benefits of that with their practice report from Tuesday. Everything, because they play Saturday, everything's moved up a day. So their first practice was Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So I was already pretty confident that this is the best team in the NFC. And if they're going to be this healthy throughout the postseason, I think they're going to be really, really hard to beat.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned Christian McCaffrey, right?
Oh, yeah. Him.
Christian McCaffrey is healthy. The calf injury that he suffered in, I believe it was Washington.
Yes.
Second last game of the season. He's back, and he's a full participant, and he's going to be good to go. So,
I think that'll be big. Somebody to split carries with Elijah Mitchell.
Someone to lighten Jordan Mason's load a little bit.
I like that we got to the benefits of George Odom being back before we got to Christian.
Lily going nuts at the door. I mean, hopefully no one's like breaking in the house right now. Maybe I should pause the podcast and go
That'd
check.
Be
but
great for content.
It reminded me. Like it reminded me. Not, Lily freaking out reminded me of the importance of George Odom. So
good. I'm glad. Does Danny Gray get activated this week? It's his last week to get activated, or he has to go on IR for the rest of the year?
No,
I don't think so either. Anyways, that's all I have to say.
That would be a wild change of develop, like a wild.
Yeah, because they'd have to heart. Cut somebody right, who plays.
Right.
Yeah.
So right, no, like they've elevated like Bill Snead and Chris Conley all year.
Mm-hmm.
Over, you know, like Danny Gray's been healthy enough to play, but they've just not thought highly enough of what he could contribute to the team.
Hey,
and so
did you see what Bill Snead said about Tua after the game the other night? After the Dolphins lost?
No.
He was basically like, the Dolphins are never gonna win as long as Tua is playing soft. And then put a 100 emoji.
He said that?
Which is how you know he means business.
Woo.
Yeah. That's a crazy thing to say from a practice squad guy. They'd have to take my phone away if I was an NFL player, dude. I would have all the takes. It'd be tough.
There's no world where I'm tweeting or Instagramming anything if I'm in the NFL.
That's right. Depending on
like the marital situation, I'm probably not having Instagram. Or I'm definitely not having X, formerly Twitter. That's definitely not a thing that would happen.
See, I crave attention too badly. Like, it's so I need to be getting my I might have a burner account or something, but I would definitely be getting takes off on the internet. Now, I think that injury-wise is the best case scenario for the 49ers. Do you think that facing the Packers, the number 7 seed, is the best case scenario for the 49ers? I think it is.
No, because you think it is. Okay, yes. I don't. Not necessarily. Like, I do think the Packers are a little bit scary because of how hot they've been, and they're just not really a known commodity, right? Like, they're one of those teams that might just like riding a rocket ship right now, right? Like, Jordan Love has thrown his last 8 games. The numbers are absurd. He has 18 touchdowns, 1 interception, 112.7 rating over his last regular season games. And that doesn't even include what he did in Dallas when he threw.
Yeah, he was even better
touchdowns.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, threw 3 touchdowns, had no picks. And just looks like he has a great feel. Like, he's just, he looks like he's not in his first year playing quarterback. He just looks extremely comfortable.
Yep.
And that's not, like, I'm not trying to say that I think the Packers are in any way a bad matchup for the 49ers. I think the 49ers are going to score a ton of points, right, or at least they should score a ton of points on the Packers defense. But I mean, watching football this weekend, the best case scenario for the Niners would have been playing the Eagles.
Yeah, no,
the Eagles were awful. The Eagles weren't tackling anybody. They had they looked like they were they didn't want to be there. Like they were so bad that it was, you know, like that would, that to me feels like the team that if you're, if you want, like if you're trying to pick out the team that you're most likely to beat or that's going to be the easiest out, it feels like Philadelphia at this point.
I was really resistant to the idea that the 49ers quote unquote broke the Eagles, because I think that's typically kind of a short-sighted thing and just a thing that fans say to, you know, have bragging rights or a way to talk trash about another team. But I really think that's kind of what happened. It feels like the 49ers beat the Eagles so bad that it made them look internally at some of their issues and they realized that they weren't fixable. And that just rot from the core, just kind of, and then even up until, like, because we watched that team be really good all through last year and even going into the playoffs, I'm sitting here and I'm going, dude, like they're favored over Tampa. Vegas knows something. The Eagles are going to be better in the playoffs. They're going to lock in. They're going to, and they just didn't, dude. I was floored by how poor they looked.
Vegas had to make a ton of money on that game, I would think, right?
Either that or they lost a like, ton of money.
Maybe. I mean, I just think the I think it's more likely that the Eagles were favored because of where all the money was coming from.
No, you're right. Where all the money That's definitely going. Correct. Yeah.
So if there's a bunch of Eagles money going in, like that line has to be pushed. Because there's no way you can look at the way they've played and then, because that saying they're 3-point favorites on the road in a playoff game is purely based on reputation. It's just ignoring what's happened the second half of the season since the Niners game. So to me, the best case scenario would have been the Eagles, but the Eagles didn't even have the heart to beat Tampa Bay. And just like playing some of the worst defense, like you'll ever see, really. You have guys in coverage, like running into each other, falling over, leaving dudes completely uncovered. And then three or four guys in the secondary having opportunities to tackle dudes and just kind of letting them run by, run by you into the end zone. Like just really embarrassing stuff. Honestly, like I'm pretty surprised it's Tuesday night. I'm pretty surprised that there hasn't been news about Nick Sirianni losing his job. I don't know how you can bring back Sirianni after the way they collapsed.
Yeah, I was kind of against that going into, so I do this video series with USA Today, not to brag, called Four Down Territory. I do that with Doug Farrar. And we talked about that. We recorded before the Monday night game. And I was like, I think you got to be patient with them. After seeing how they played in the playoffs, I changed my mind. That was abominable. So I think you're right. Okay, in a vacuum, playing the Eagles would have been the best case scenario, but I also don't think there was a scenario where the Eagles were going to look as bad as they looked and also beat Tampa.
Right.
Like if they won that game, they would have looked like last year's Eagles where it's like, oh, they lock in and now they're going to San Francisco to face a team that already embarrassed them once. Like that would be the counter argument. But to your point, if the 49ers got to pick their first playoff team, I think they would have picked Philly just based on the weekend performances. They were so bad.
I can't remember a team, like a good team, falling apart without, like, they were missing A.J. Brown, but it just looked like they had no soul. It was just really jarring the way that it felt like they rolled over. Like, it was evident early on in the game. It was like, no, they're losing. They were toast. They were toast early on. It wasn't like, you know, like the Niners Browns game, right? Like it never felt like the Niners weren't playing hard or like, you know, the Niners they'll be sloppy every now and again, right? But they never lose. You never watch a game and you're like, God, these guys are just being dogs today.
Yeah.
Like that never happens. And that's what it felt like watching the Eagles. Like they couldn't do anything on offense. And I mean, there are a few different, the reason why I'm so surprised that Sirianni hasn't gotten fired yet. It's, you know, it's not only like the vibes of the team were obviously horrendous, right? It just seemed like everyone was super disinterested in playing hard and playing winning football. But it was also like maybe the players were like that because there were no answers offensively. It was like, Todd Bowles blitzes. He's like known for his blitzing.
Right.
And the Eagles just had no answers for the blitz, like over and over again. It's like, guys, like, you have dudes who are good with the ball, like after the catch, like run a screen, do something.
Yeah.
Do something to counter the blitz, because this isn't a surprise that Todd Bowles is blitzing you. That's like what he's built his career on as a defensive coach, is blitzing. And the Eagles had no answers for that. And
I know.
It felt like the players knew they had no answers, and that's one of the reasons why they're so checked out.
Yeah, they just quit. It was, man.
That was weird.
It was a really poor performance. And then the other not strangely poor performance, because it was a little more expected, Dallas looked so bad against Green Bay. And that's part of why at first I'm watching this game like, man, Niners might have to play this team. When it was 14-0, it's like, man, Niners might have to play this team. That's, they look really good. And then you just watch Dallas as that game went on. I don't know what they were. I don't know how much to credit the Packers and how much to say, oh, it's on Dallas for being bad. I'm gonna have to go watch it again. But there's part of me that goes, man, maybe the 49ers are just facing this buzzsaw, and it's going to be this shootout, and they're going to have a really hard time slowing down this offense that's really all gelled at the same time. It's a lot of young players. It's Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks and Tucker Kraft? Is that his name? The tight end? Luke Musgrave. Luke Musgrave is the name I was looking for. Jordan Love is playing as good as any quarterback in the league right now. Aaron Jones looked awesome against the Cowboys, but conversely, the Cowboys haven't been able to stop their run the last few weeks. Dan Quinn, from everything I've read, did nothing different defensively than he normally does. And they go a lot of dime, like light boxes. They go with these safety linebacker hybrids that are more defensive back than linebacker. And it makes them susceptible to the run. And the Packers just took full advantage of that and got Green Bay on their heels, which maybe that's why Jordan Love played so well. So I think that the reason I think it's the best case scenario for the Niners is because I think they'll score on Green Bay and take advantage of their defense in ways that the Cowboys didn't. And I think if the Cowboys hadn't fallen behind and gotten punched in the face immediately in that game, I think they probably still would have had a ton of yards and a ton of points. Dak threw for 400 yards and they had 37 first downs. Like, that's bananas. Yeah. So I think their defense is susceptible. And I just think that Jordan Love, I'm interested to see him in a game script that is not as favorable as the one he had in his first playoff game, because I don't think it will be.
Yeah. This dog, man, just fired up over George Odom. Bicep getting right.
She really wants us to talk about him.
Yeah. So I think it was a combination of both things, right? Like, I think it was a combination of the Packers playing really well and the Cowboys just not being ready. Mm-hmm. Or just not being like, and we talked about it in the last pod, but I remember seeing a video clip of Richard Sherman, friend of the podcast, saying before the Packers Cowboys game that, he thinks the Packers, or he thought going in, it's like, if the Packers get after him early and get a lead, then all of a sudden the Cowboys, who are heavily favored, who are not good at playing under pressure, are playing really tight. Like, you can get them. You could get them, you know, like the Cowboys being sort of a front running team against a lot of bad teams. Like, if you hit the Cowboys first, then you could put them in a tailspin potentially. And that's what Sherman said before the game. And he was absolutely right. Like, that's exactly what happened. It's like they go down and score, and it's like, okay, like, teams tend to score in their opening drive. Like, that's not always, you know, like those, there were some like Niners Rams games in the run during like the run where the Niners were just dominating the Rams, where like, I think the 2019 game, they gave up an opening touchdown. I was like, man, that was a really bad defensive drive. And then the Niners defense just shellacked them the rest of the game, right?
Oh, the one like in LA.
One in LA in 2019. Yeah. There are just some like opening drives, like good defenses will give up touchdowns. Game script's good, or the scripted plays are good or whatever. But then as the game goes on, it changes. Packers scored in the first drive and it just didn't change. It was just like, oh, like the Cowboys just aren't going to have any answers for Aaron Jones and the running game. And the Cowboys, like, to your point about like Dan Quinn playing a lot of dime and stuff, like, how are you supposed to stop the run if you're in dime the whole game?
I have no idea.
Right? Like, the Niners are pretty good at stopping the run in nickel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. they can yeah. play the run in nickel, which is one of the strengths of their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they can absolutely play it really, really well in base. So I think that's, you know, that'll be different for the Packers. Like, Aaron Jones has been problematic for the Niners in the past.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, the Packers are a little bit scary because they don't really have anything to lose. And this is like kind of a human nature conversation for me. It's like, what do they have to lose? They just beat the Cowboys. Why couldn't they go upset the Niners? Like, Matt LaFleur sure. knows Kyle Shanahan. Like, the Niners probably aren't going to do anything that the Packers haven't seen before.
Sure.
But again, you can know the 49ers are running left behind Trent Williams and George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk, and you still can't stop it because you know it's coming doesn't mean you're going to beat those blocks.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So I'll ultimately, like, as good as Jordan Love could potentially play, the Niners defense being rested is a huge advantage. Nick Bosa, it feels like we're at some point in Nick Bosa's career, he's just going to have a dominant postseason. Right, like, and he's had really good postseasons in the past, but like, mm-hmm. like a signature Nick Bosa postseason feels like it's going to come at some point, and yeah. I feel like we're kind of ripe for it, particularly with them coming off a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just don't think the Packers defense can stop the 49ers over four quarters.
I'm totally.
Like, I think right. I would be surprised if the 49ers didn't score four touchdowns.
Where do you think the Packers finish this season in defensive DVOA?
22nd.
No, worse. 22nd was the Rams, oddly enough.
Oh, wow.
27th. Ahead of Seattle, Philly, Denver, Washington, and Arizona. So their defenses,
which the Niners didn't really have. Yeah, the Niners didn't really have any issues against those defenses.
Hey, where do you think their teams rank?
Special teams?
Yeah.
Aren't they still like really bad on
31.
Special teams?
Yeah, 31.
Yeah.
Just and saying, Georgia was a game changer.
And they were bad a couple years ago. And yeah, special teams ended up being
swung
the difference
a game. Yeah. Man, Dallas, Dallas's first
50%
half.
50% offense, 50% defense, and 50% special teams.
Dude, is that your three keys? We're doing three keys right now?
Special teams, keys to the game.
So, the Packers' first half possessions. Punt, interception, punt, interception, which was a pick six. And then they scored a touchdown on the last play of the half where they nearly smoked the entire clock by throwing short of the end zone with no timeouts and like 9 seconds left. They're a disaster, man.
Hey guys, it's Kyle from Candlestick Chronicles, and I want to tell you about Factor. Now, we're far enough into the new year that maybe you're starting to wane a little bit on your resolutions. Maybe you wanted to take a little bit better care of yourself. Maybe you wanted to eat better and you're going, man, you know what? Work and life gets so busy. I don't have time to grocery shop. I don't have time to meal prep. I don't have time to do all that. Factor takes that off the table for you with ready-to-eat meal delivery that takes all the stress out of meal planning and it sets you up for success in the new year. They have calorie smart options. They have vegan options. They have veggie options. They have keto options. And then there's like 55 weekly add-ons, so you'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kickstart your resolutions. One of my favorite Factor things are the smoothies. They have fruit smoothies. They have like a mango and a tropical fruit and a strawberry banana that are delicious. They also have protein shakes that are fantastic. I really enjoy the espresso one. It is a delicious way to start the day. So look, I'm always trying to find ways to skip the trap of overpriced takeout. Whether it's getting it delivered or whatever, Factor helps. Factor, I open my fridge, there's a meal right there, I throw it in the microwave or in the oven, whatever you prefer, and I throw mine in the microwave, it's ready to go in a couple of minutes, and I have a delicious, nutritious meal right in front of me, and it wasn't a headache to plan, it wasn't a headache to cook, and I didn't have to shop for anything. That's why Factor is the very best. Head to factormeals.com/candlestick50 and use code candlestick50 to get 50% off. That's code candlestick50 at factormeals.com/candlestick50 to get 50% off.
Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that, and it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kids sizes on here too.
Yes, that is.
And everything's correct. Unisex. We should point out also. So, yeah. No matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from SGLambChops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to SGLambChops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today.
Question in the YouTube chat. Are we concerned about Jake Moody?
Yeah. Insofar as I don't know what you're getting from him. I'm not necessarily like, oh, he's definitely going to miss his first kick. But I'm also not like, oh, he's definitely going to make it.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be nails in big spots, and he hasn't been.
Money Moody?
Yeah, that guy. But apparently, yeah, I mean, it's just Michigan W week with the national championship and then the Fab Five getting back together, and the Lions winning a playoff game for the first time since Herbert Hoover was president. It's a big week for the Mitten. So maybe Jake Moody bounces back.
I was gonna say the Money Moody thing. It's weird. I guess it's not weird that Moody would be talked about that way, because everyone at Michigan is so honest and just never.
Hey, did you see Connor Stallions is doing cameos?
That's the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
You can pay him, $70.
National champion.
Yeah. Knows his way around a camera.
That's national champion Connor Stallions to you.
Sorry.
No, I really enjoyed Jim Harbaugh chastising the media for asking him about his future and being completely aghast that the slimeball media would dare to ask him questions about his future ahead and after the national championship game while he's interviewing for multiple head coaching jobs in the NFL.
Yeah, well, you're not gonna, you know, just because he's opening the door doesn't mean he's walking through it.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because he's also reportedly in negotiations with Michigan, should he come back, to have a clause in his contract where he would not be able to get fired if NCAA sanctions come down upon him for the cheating scandal. This guy's like baking a big old cake and eating all of it. Shouts to Jim Harbaugh, man, national champion. Leaving for the league while also setting himself up to be completely absolved from any sort of blame from the cheating scandal. Just great stuff.
Can we talk about Nick's story on ESPN?
Let's do it.
Nick Wagner, our favorite cast member and friend of the program. I think the friend of the program. Of all the friends of the program, he is the friend of the program.
He's definitely one of them.
he is the dude. He's graduated to that. I'm comfortable saying that. No, he wrote a story on ESPN about Brock Purdy and why the 49ers believe in him and his just kind of his thought process and the way that he has gone from final pick in the draft and some different events in his life that have gotten him to this point. It's an incredible story. really, really well done. And there's an anecdote in there about how Kyle Shanahan sat Brock Purdy down during the offseason and was like, you're the starting quarterback. You're the dude. Which is not shocking to anybody that was paying attention. But right. Then Purdy says that Shanahan went, unless Tom Brady wants to play here, in which case, sorry. which is wild, but it makes sense. But also, I don't know if the 49ers would have been demonstrably better in that case. And I know that sounds insane because it's Tom goddamn Brady, but he would have been, what, 46? Behind an offensive line that was not awesome? I don't know. I'm not totally convinced that the 49ers would have been way better if Tom Brady was their quarterback this year.
Well, the production they got from Purdy all year was historic. So to say, like, there's a reasonable case to be made that Tom Brady would have put up historic numbers also. But, you know, like, there's still the question when it comes to Brock Purdy about being able to come back after they're down. Right. Like that was kind of the thing that reared its head in the team's three losses that mattered, was that they fell behind, had opportunities to come back in the fourth quarter. And Purdy just frankly wasn't good in those scenarios. He was good enough in Cleveland after being pretty bad throughout the vast majority of that game, but he was good enough to Cleveland to put them in position for a game winning field goal. And again, that Cleveland game was super fluky in the sense that like a whole lot of weird things happened in a game the 49ers lost by one, including the kicker missing two kicks, what should have been a fumble deep in Browns territory at the end of the first half, costing the 49ers potentially, you know, points. Like that should have been a game the 49ers won by two or three or four points, right? But the Minnesota game, the Cincinnati game, those scenarios where the 49ers are down, I feel like they might be in a better spot had Tom Brady been the guy, because we've seen Tom Brady come back a time or two in big moments. And that's still, frankly, like that's still, I think, a fair question about Purdy going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the 49ers are probably going to have their way with the Packers defense early on, and they'll probably do the thing where, you know, they score their 17th point at the end of the first half and then end up getting the second half kickoff and then scoring a touchdown and going up by, you know, 14 or whatever, 17, and then just kind of running away from there. But, and you know, if they move on, it's the Lions, probably would be the Lions in the NFC championship game. I don't know that that is necessarily a game that you look at and like say, that's going to be a close one. And the 49ers are going to need Brock Purdy to author a comeback drive in the fourth quarter. So you play it out and just game it out. Like, so you get to the Super Bowl and the 49ers are down by 4 points and there's 6 minutes left. Like, do you feel awesome about Brock Purdy there? Or would you rather have Tom Brady?
Well, considering that Tom Brady had more fourth quarter comebacks between his age 36 and 45 seasons than Brock Purdy has starts in the NFL. Yeah, I get it. But I'm also not 100% certain that they're in this position with the one seed if Tom Brady's a quarterback.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to say, like, just from the standpoint.
He turned 46 in August.
No, you're not wrong.
Like, he is hella 46. Wrong. He's not a little 46. He is, like, way 46.
Well, until the Ravens game, Purdy was the clear favorite to win MVP and was going to break the all-time record for yards per attempt. Like, it was like quite literally one of the most efficient seasons that was trending towards becoming the most efficient passing season in NFL history.
Yeah.
And like, that's not hyperbole. That's what Purdy did this year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like that is a high bar to set even for Tom Brady. And that's not to say that Tom Brady couldn't have been a really, really, really good player for the Niners had he been playing for them. But yeah, I mean, I just, to me, like, that's kind of like, it's kind of a wash, like the idea that, like, you know, I think the Niners offense still would have been one of the best in the league with Tom Brady potentially if he stayed healthy. But the difference is, I think, is the way you feel about going into a playoff game, and particularly a big moment when you might be trailing with Tom Brady versus Brock Purdy, frankly, because we haven't seen Purdy come through in that scenario just yet.
Yeah. No, that makes sense, because I think you're right. Like, we, you know, we talk about Jake Moody, but I really think that going into this playoff game, like, let's say Green Bay's offense is just a buzzsaw right now, and the Niners defense gives up 30 points and they're down 30 to 28 with a minute and a half to go, and the Niners have the ball on their own 25 with no timeouts. That's a spot that, like, of all the spots that Brock Purdy is really good in, you don't know, because the sample size hasn't been great this year.
But, right.
I don't know. Tom Brady threw for 44,408 yards from his age 36 season on. That's outrageous. I'm just neck deep in Tom Brady stats now.
He was extremely, extremely good at playing football.
Yeah, that's why. Tom Brady from age 36 to 45. Okay. Tom Brady, age 36 to 45, has more passing yards than Joe Flacco.
Wow.
Like, for his whole career.
That's crazy.
Tom Brady, age 36 to 45, is 18th all-time in passing yards. maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is a bad take by me.
That's wild. Okay.
Maybe this is a bad take.
So here's some stats. I couldn't find the, and I'm sure.
How Kyle Shanahan was like, I saw enough out of Tom Brady to think that he should start for our team. And I, Kyle Madsen, an asshole, am like, nah, I don't see it. Anyways.
So, okay. I did find Brock Purdy's numbers. So when trailing this year, Brock Purdy has 7 picks, 5 touchdown passes. When leading, he has 20 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Wow.
So he has basically 127.9 passer rating when leading and an 82.4 passer rating when trailing.
Jesus. Is Brock Purdy a front runner and soft? Your thoughts.
No, and again, I'm not saying that, like, this is I'm not trying to denigrate Brock Purdy or anything that he's done, because I think those numbers are, like, extreme small sample size theater. I think the Browns game was just like a slop fest in bad weather. I think he was probably concussed in the Minnesota game. And the Bengals game, it was just kind of like a weird play like that. There were a couple weird plays in that game. And the Niners were, you know, coming off a short week where they traveled back from East Coast time. And then, is Minnesota East Coast time? Or are they Central? Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're traveling back on a short week, playing a team that was on it, coming off its bye. So I think there's, like, the trailing stuff is small sample size theater. But still, we haven't seen Brock Purdy be that guy in that situation yet. And to me, that's, like, the only question.
That is the biggest question. They didn't win a game all year when they were trailing at halftime. And is that a sustainable model in the playoffs when you were playing the best of the best teams every single week?
Yeah.
That's tough.
I mean, that's ultimately the question, right? Like, in games that the final margin was between 0 and 7 points. So in one score games in Brock Purdy starts, the Niners were 1-2.
Wait,
and in games where in one score games that Brock Purdy started this year, the Niners were 1-2.
Jesus.
And then in games decided by 8 to 14 points, they were 2-2. And in games that were 15 points plus, the Niners were 9-0.
I'll note that their one win in a one score game was a field goal by the Rams that cut it from 10 to 7 with no time left.
Fair.
So it's not really even the one. Yeah, man.
Right.
I think that their formula of get ahead and just kind of bend teams to their will, it can work against Green Bay. Yeah. I don't think that's going to work against Detroit, presumably in the NFC title game. And I certainly don't think it's going to work against the Ravens if they meet them in the Super Bowl. So they're going to have to find different ways to win and new ways to win on the fly in the playoffs.
The Niners are so good that when they're healthy and they don't turn the ball over, they're basically impossible to beat.
Yes.
But the reason why they get in these scenarios, and there's obviously correlation to these stats, right? The reason why they get into these games where it's close is because they're turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Purdy in those,
yeah,
in those scenarios, in close games, like the one score games, he's got 2 touchdowns and 3 picks. 8-14, mm-hmm, he's got 6 touchdowns and 7 picks. The 15 plus games, he's got 23 touchdowns and 1 pick.
Yeah.
Right. So like it's basically all coming down to Brock Purdy's turnovers. And so if they're not turning the ball over, they're just impossible to beat and it's not going to be close.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to do a little more homework on Green Bay, but we'll talk about them more in our Thursday podcast. Real quick, want to talk to you about Prize Picks. It is my favorite daily fantasy sports site, and honestly, America's largest daily fantasy sports site, and you should join. So here's what we did for the wild card weekend. There was no 49ers, so I picked something from each game, but I moved around the game. So I had Joe Flacco, less than 272.5 passing yards. That did not come to fruition. He got a bunch of garbage time stats. That was a bummer. I had Matthew Stafford, more than 275.5 passing yards, nailed it. I had Tyreek Hill, less than 86.5 receiving yards, nailed it. But then a gang of L's. Jaden Reed, more than 49.5 receiving yards, no. Tua Tagovailoa, less than 5.5 rushing yards, no. He had 9 rushing yards on like the second play of the game. Super annoying. And then Patrick Mahomes, less than 249.5 passing yards, no. So that's a giant L for your boy. But I'm going to be back on the horse because there is not a better way to enjoy sports than with Prize Picks. It is the easiest daily fantasy sports site. You jump in, 2 to 6 players, you pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. Join today at prizepicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Do better than me. We give our picks every Thursday. You can just fade me.
Fade me too.
Make an entry. Make an entry that's opposite what Chris and I do and you'll be golden.
Do a power play. Because, I mean, the power plays are really the only way to go. And just cool. Do the opposite of all my picks.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
You'll probably win.
Very good. Before we get out of here, injury updates. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Greenlaw situation, not a concern for apparent, according to Kyle Shanahan. Said Greenlaw should be back in practice on Wednesday. So hopefully, by the time you listen to this, you'll know that. All right. Subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that little thumbs up for us. Also, subscribe to the channel. Hit the little notification bell so you get a notification every time we go live. And we will talk to you next time. We'll have a little preview pod for you on Thursday. That'll come out Friday, so make sure to check your feeds. Previewing the 49ers divisional round matchup against the Green Bay Packers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.